good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost one minute of sleep worrying about the way things might have been.
A big wheel is keep on turning, proud red keep on burning.
Oh, I'm
rolling, rolling, rolling on a river.
Cleaned a lot of place down in Memphis, I pumped a lot of grain down in New Orleans. But I never saw the good side of the city. Near I used to ride on a river, though we are to the
big wheel. Keep on turning, proud Mary, keep on burning.
If you go down to the river, I bet you're gonna find some people who live. You don't have to worry, cause you have no money. People on the river are happy to give.
I said a big wheel keep on turning, traveling keep on burning.
Well, rolling,
in the morning, 8:28, a Friday. We rolling all week. We've been rolling on the river. I figure we'll kick it off nice. Kick the weekend off nice. Again, winding down another month. This is the final weekend of the month. Kind of the final weekend of the summer in a lot of ways, although the holiday still is looming. If there's anything left of the country by the time we get to that. We have some fun on the video podcast. It's on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. My antics are increasing. I like to have fun when I'm doing this. I don't know. Gets me pumped up. You got to keep moving, messing around. And we appreciate the support we have on there with the subscribers. I tell you, I got some good intel from some of these guys. Some of these guys on the forum we have on there, on the chat, on both of those things, they're taking stuff I say and then they're researching and they're going to work. Like, these guys are animals. They're doing open source intelligence, sending me all kind of records and documents. It's awesome. And we're probably going to get some stories out of it. I'm not going to give up the the goods yet, but there's some good stuff coming out of there. It's quite a little active community, and people are supporting one another, and people talk about their hard times and what they're going through, and I really like it. I think it's turned into something far better than I ever had anticipated. And that's the subscriber-only area where you get the More Pain show, all the video podcasts of Pain in the Morning. And one of the benefits for me, again, is the talk and now the intel and the chatter. And it's nice. So thanks to you folks out there for doing that. If you're not inside there yet, jump in, take a gander, nose around. I think you'll like what you find. I can't. It's Thursday night just passed, and watching all these speeches all week, it's like, my God, when will it end? You know what it's like being? It's like being at Citigroup. When I was at Citigroup, all these meetings. I know some of you Citigroup guys are listening, right? All these meetings we had all the time and conference calls, it's like blah, 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 blah. And then you get off the call and your boss is like, that fucking guy, I'll strangle that guy. But he's on the call. He's like, yeah, let me circle back with you. We need to find a robust solution. And we have to find synergy in what we're doing. And he gets off the line. He's like, I'll strangle that son of a bitch if I get my hands on. That's how I feel about these speeches with the convention. What's that Elvis song? Words all I have. That's what I feel. Where's that? I got the Elvis queued up somewhere here. Where's he at? There he is. Elvis live in Las Vegas. Yeah, so it's all, it's words and words and words. And I was critical of it this week because it drives me crazy. We need more than words. We really do. We need action. We need action, action, action. Remember your mom told you actions speak louder than words? Or at least the nuns used to tell us that. And we should say, don't worry about it, sister. We're trying to get as much action as we can when we're not in school. Hey, you sons of bitches. They used to say, the nuns, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but, and kissing at parties is a mortal sin. And we're like, sweet. That's something to shoot for. I'm going to make those trips to confession a little bit more interesting for the priests. But no, seriously, the words and the speeches, it's like, stop it. On both sides, Democrats and Republicans, stop it. People are sitting at homes and are like, and the same with these dummy athletes in the NBA and the MLB and the NHL. You're not playing hockey, you're not playing basketball because some guy who reached for a weapon got gunned down. Curtis Blow has a song, Those Are the Breaks. I mean, it's either the cop seat. It's very simple. It's either them or him. That's the way it breaks down. And as more information comes out, I think it'll make sense. People say he got shot a lot. I understand that. That doesn't mean the whole fucking country has to stop working. Stuff happens every day in Chicago. Black on black crime. What is going on? These shows and these words drive me fucking crazy. And with that, I've said too much as is. Play the game or don't get paid. And don't expect us to support you out here. There's people out here hurting. You guys are making multi-million dollars playing a game that you love. Playing a children's game. It's great. And you worked hard. You deserve it, okay? To a certain extent. I'm not sure you deserve all that money, but that's another. That's something the market decides. You know what else the market decides? Whether you're assholes and we're not going to watch you at all. So put that in the ring for your next protest. Where has everybody been protesting the violence in Chicago and major cities for decades? It's all a show. It's all words. It's all speeches. It's all bullshit. Like I said, behind the scenes, it's like, this isn't real. It's make-believe. Just like the conventions are make-believe. The country's upside down and people are standing behind podiums saying, we need to do this and this is going to be incredible. Okay. Is it incredible now? Why would the next 4 years be incredible? If it's not good now, why would the next 4 years? Why should we be optimistic? I mean, I'm just being honest here. You know, strip away the hype and the nonsense, and you're like, wait a minute. Things aren't very good now. I don't understand. What's all this hyperbole about and hype and patting themselves on the back? It's sickening, really, after a couple weeks of this with the DNC and RNC. But I digress and we proceed. Again, thank you to the folks on those platforms, patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. And for all you folks out there helping us grow, a friend of mine checked in from college and said, do they know you're not, do the people who are listening to you know that you have about six more gears of causing trouble. And I said, we have to ease people into this. We have to ease people into this situation. Well, the gears will be, we'll hit those gears and we'll kick into those gears when need be. And the time might be coming. But man, we had some fun in college and I'm not allowed to talk about college. My wife won't let me talk about any college stories, especially on air. Maybe we'll get together with those guys in some kind of a session. Would be fun. A little pain after dark. We're kicking that around where we can be a little bit more let our hair down, so to speak, whatever's left of it. let's start here. And we'll go right to the belly of the beast with this. Wisconsin Department of Justice finds that Jacob Blake had a weapon on the floorboard of his car. Oh, my God. What a surprise. This is another man of the year. Another, civic hero who's got a rap sheet longer than Bill Clinton's black book of chicks. But that's okay. Because, like I said, it's pretend land. It's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood when this stuff happens. We're not even dealing in reality. It's like it's surreal and it keeps happening over and over and over. It's like, aren't we tired of this as a country? Isn't it tiring? I mean, does somebody get up and say that during one of the speeches they had this week? Are we not exhausted from this nonsense that keeps playing over and over and over with the mainstream media and these street varmints and vagrants and gutter snipes and sewer rats to keep stoking chaos? Aren't we tired? It's exhausting on top of everything else that's going on. Stop talking and do something about it in DC. So we have some facts coming in on the Wisconsin situation, but I'm sure that won't change anything with the communist media. But the rest of us could be a little bit blinded by the light.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
The Wisconsin Department of Justice, Division of Criminal Investigation, reported late on Wednesday that Jacob Blake, the man who was shot by a police officer in Kenosha on Sunday, had a weapon on the floorboard of his car. That's where he was reaching into before he was gunned down. Kenosha Police Department officers were dispatched to a residence after a female caller reported that her boyfriend was present and not supposed to be on the premises. During the incident, officers attempted to arrest Jacob S. Blake. Age 29, law enforcement deployed a taser to attempt to stop Mr. Blake. However, the taser was not successful in stopping Mr. Blake. Maybe I should cue up the song Cocaine. Strike that from the record, Your Honor. Mr. Blake walked around his vehicle, opened the driver's side door, and leaned forward. While holding on to Mr. Blake's shirt, Officer Arustin Shesky fired his service weapon 7 times, the department continued. The department said the officers immediately rendered aid to Blake. During the investigation following the initial incident, Mr. Blake admitted that he had a knife in his possession. DCI agents recovered a knife from the driver's side floorboard of Mr. Blake's vehicle. A search of the vehicle located no additional weapons. Shooting quickly sparked Black Lives Matter riots in the city that resulted in businesses being destroyed, a church being burned to the ground, and cars being smashed. The situation became more severe on Tuesday night after shootings broke out in the city after Democratic Governor Tony Never Evers refused to accept federal assistance to help secure the streets of the city. Yeah, anything goes. Well, blinded by the light, reaching for a knife, looking for a fight. That's okay. It's, if anybody out there thinks that a knife can't do damage, you're smoking banana peels. A knife can be really tough to counter without some pushback. And anything can happen, man. Anything can happen with a knife. When you get pulled over by cops or told to get on the ground by cops, do you race and rush for your knife? Could be an indication that you might be in for a little ass whooping. Well, we're getting to see more facts come in on this, which is always happens. After they burn a couple cities down, the facts come in. It doesn't change anything. Yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You would have done it anyhow. Whitey would have done it anyhow. Now guys like Tucker Carlson are in trouble for what? For talking about some truths, some real talk. Tucker can always get his own podcast. He'll do very well if he gets kicked off of Fox. Give the guy props. He's done more than anybody else there. Although, he could do more, and I have some issues with him, but that's okay. I'm like pushy uncle. It's like, you're doing pretty good, buddy, but you can do better. All right. Rioting erupts after Minneapolis police accused of shooting and killing a suspect, but they say the video shows the suspect killed himself. Well, that's okay. It's in Minneapolis. I'm even surprised that the police showed up there. That's impressive on its own. I'm actually blinded by the light on that story myself. What do we have for this? So it's an accident, right? Looting and rioting broke out in Minneapolis again after the police were accused of shooting and killing another black man. But they say the video shows that he committed suicide. Yeah, but we can get some flat screens. Christmas is coming up and around the corner. The aftermath of the incident was captured on cell phone video by residents who angrily denounced the police and accused them of shooting and killing the black man. Social media erupted with scenes of looting and rioting. And oh, there we go. Daddy needs a new pair of Nikes. Social media erupted with scenes of looting and rioting in the wake of the accusations against the officers. Now you don't even have to kill anybody in that way. We're pretty sure they killed that guy. Let's hit the stores. Let's hit Target. I need an 80-inch. But police claim that the suspect turned a gun on himself and committed suicide when they cornered him. According to reporter Kent Erdahl of CARE 11 News, Minneapolis police showed them the video of the suspect caught on surveillance video killing himself. It's a trick, man. There's still more TVs left. Hurry up. Despite the video, looting and rioting continued in Minneapolis. I haven't even read the story before. I'm not kidding. I just know exactly how it's going to go. Started off with a little Elvis Presley. Now we go to Elvis Costello and the attractions. And the big attraction in Minneapolis is getting free stuff and burning shit. Are they still cleaning up Minneapolis? They just got done restocking some of the stores. Ah, our last truck. We're all restocked again with electronics. God damn it.
God damn it. We're out of TVs again. Yeah, this is bullshit.
Looting in downtown Minneapolis, Haskell's liquor store and medical arts building included, reported Courtney Godfrey of KMSPTV. That Haskell's liquor store, is that Eddie Haskell's place? He's taking a beating. This is all linked to alleged suicide of a suspect in an earlier homicide. Crowds down here were convinced he was shot by police, the reporter added. Godfrey indicated that she also saw the video produced by police of the suspect killing himself. Why would you let a few good facts get in the way of a perfectly good riot? I don't get it. Immediately after the suspect goes down, you can see officers rush over and start CPR. Minneapolis police spokesman John Elder said in a meeting with media that the suspect was being sought in an investigation of a homicide committed earlier on Wednesday. All these street legends now have long warrants for like egregious things. Homicide, sexual assault.
Yeah, but they got shot. This is bullshit.
It's like, what? There's like five or six things running through my head that are just dastardly one-liners, but it'd probably get me thrown off the air. They're going to have the one guy. What was the one guy? Edward G. Robinson from Moses, from the Ten Commandments. When Charlton Heston was up on the mountain and Edwin G. Robinson was, he was like in a lot of mob movies, but somehow he was playing an Egyptian. He was like, yeah, see, get all the gold together and we'll form a golden calf. Yeah, see, he's going to be dispatched to all the cities. Get all the gold together. Yeah, we're going to form another golden casket. Yeah, golden casket. Where's Edward G. Robinson when you need him? Yeah, see? Put all the gold together. Yeah, yeah. Moses is coming down from the meeting, from the mountain. Yeah.
It's about that bad, too. It's like a gangster / Egyptian. If you haven't seen the Ten Commandments, you're missing something. Big goings on here. Minneapolis was a nice city, but now it is a ghetto. Police added that the police involved in the incident were wearing body cameras, but that the video could not be released without a formal process. Do you think the people actually care whether he was shot or whether he killed himself? The city will be burnt down by the time that video comes out. These street vagrants, they're just looking for an excuse to go off and get stuff for free. It's just the way it is. It's been that way for a long time. It has. And it's not just, it's folks. They want stuff. They want to get stuff. They feel like they've been cheated in life. That's just the way it is. Folks under the poverty line, it has nothing to do with anything other than that. They use it as an opportunity to score stuff. It's sad. It's sad, especially when people do die under unfortunate circumstances and these folks go off. White, black, Hispanic. Look at the videos. It's like, what are these people doing? Don't they think that they might get caught at some point? I don't know. I guess wearing a medical mask helps them now. But I noticed one thing during these riots. They are not social distancing. It's very frustrating. They're not staying 6 feet apart. Many of them are not wearing masks. If we have to get Fauci out there with some of those airport flashlights, those orange airport flashlights where they guide the planes in, Fauci can stand in the street. He'll look like a lawn jockey with those things.
Headline, 17 facts to prove the U.S. economy is a complete and total disaster at this point. We need some disaster music for the economy. Oh, yeah. If you're talking about the U.S. economy, here's some good advice. Run to the hills. More than 100,000 businesses have permanently failed, and tens of millions of Americans have lost their jobs. If you still have a good job, you should cling to it with all your might, because there are so many families that have no idea how they're going to pay the bills next month, or the month after that, or the month after that. But these pro athletes are out there playing grab ass.
We are not playing because of racism.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's going to fucking change things. You're not playing your stupid game. It's going to change the fact that some people are racist. In the NBA, most of the people playing the sport are racist. They need to break the news to people. Maybe start with yourself. Take that time off and stand in front of a mirror for a while. Guys are great at calling other people racist, but as we saw from events in the NBA in the last week, the anti-white slurs on the court, and the league did nothing about it. Oh, the guy's white. What do you expect? He's playing basketball. Expect to be abused. The inmates are running the asylum in the NBA, and it shows. They're going to run that sport right into the ground, and for all I care, good riddance. But like the story says, a lot of people don't have jobs, and these guys making millions are playing grab ass. Some kind of a, they think they're freedom fighters. They really think they're freedom fighters. They think they're fucking Frederick Douglass. Guys like that. Really? That's who you think you are? With your big contracts and your big houses? You're so full of shit. Yeah. You're not street anymore. Your street days are over, man. If you can't go on the street without bodyguards, your street days are over. When it gets to the point where you can't even pay the rent or the mortgage, financial worries can be absolutely consuming in your life. If you have been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you have children, that just makes things even worse. How do you explain that home is no longer home? Boom. A long time ago, I was watching TV as a kid growing up, and Dan Marino, I think, was playing in the NCAA championship. He was playing for Pitt, quarterback for Pitt. And he's from Pittsburgh, a native of Pittsburgh. Obviously, he's playing for his school, and they interviewed his dad before the game. His dad was an old yinzer from Pittsburgh. I think he was worked in a steel mill and stuff. Really down-to-earth guy, blue-collar, salt of the earth. And some Poindexter, I think it was Brent Musburger, asked him,
how do you think that Dan is going to handle the pressure in this championship game? I mean, can he handle the pressure?
And Dan Marino's dad, I'll never forget it. Obviously, I haven't forgotten. It's got to be 30 years. Dan Marino's dad said, pressure? Pressure to play in a football game? You know what pressure is? Pressure is having a family. And you get laid off at the mill. And you don't know what you're going to do for money to feed your kids, to put a roof over their head. How are you going to get another job when thousands of other guys have been laid off? That's pressure. That's pressure. And the guy was sitting there like, let's go back
to Jimmy the Greek in the studio. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Marino.
He just floored this guy, right? And I'm thinking, God damn. That is pressure. That must be pressure. Well, things have come full circle. From when I was a kid, we're back to this. And I grew up in this environment, so I know all about it all too well, as a matter of fact. So, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, even my worst enemies. That kind of weight on your shoulder. And we're going to continue to read it, but I want some more music. Damn it. And these politicians better wise up and watch their step. It's Friday. You got to keep the music running.
This guy is getting too serious, Mildred. It's a goddamn weekend.
Listen to that line in the story. How do you explain to your kids that home is no longer home? I've been there. It's ugly. Another group of people that I feel really badly for are all the businesses owners that have had their dreams absolutely shattered. Keep that in mind when these guys are giving fucking speeches all week about how great the country is. I'm not being a dick, okay? I'm being a realist. You guys need to sober up out here. We have serious problems. And the winter that's coming is going to be... I know what's coming. I try to tell people. I don't know if they understand these things. Sometimes I feel like I'm the maniac on the corner with the megaphone.
The world's going to end.
You're in for a long winter. What? Honey, keep the kids away from that guy. He's crazy. Cross the street. Other side of the street, that guy's crazy. I'm not saying
you all must repent
or you will burn in hell. I'm saying wake up.
We're in a bad situation here, people. Please pay attention. Do not be distracted by these people behind the curtain.
These political conventions.
Please, for your own safety, people, wake up.
That's what I'm saying. Starting a small business from nothing and building it into a success takes a massive amount of work. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for anyone that's able to do that. Unfortunately, so many once thriving small businesses have now been destroyed by the events of 2020. For a lot of these small business owners, it's just time and energy. It isn't just time and energy that have been lost. When you make your small business your passion, it becomes a part of who you are. And a lot of small business owners will never be the same again after this. So please keep in mind that there are real people and real dreams behind each of the numbers that we're going to share with you here. And that's what I've been saying. One, we'll go through these. I'm going to go through all 17 because I think it's so important. But to do that, I'm going to need a song that has a little bit of ass to it. How about some Los Lonely Boys? I like this from their first album. These guys were discovered by Willie Nelson in a bar. I know you're surprised Willie was in a bar, right? And from West Texas. A little Tex-Mex rock. Mexico y Texas. Let's see. We got that set. So number one, according to San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, more than half of the storefronts in the entire city of San Francisco are no longer in business. Well, that's good. That can be used as a toilet now, since you're allowed to defecate in the streets. Isn't Bill Ayers' son the district attorney in San Francisco now? You shake your head. Be careful what you ask for. You might just get it, and you might not like it. Number two, just a few hours ago, New York City reported that it had an unemployment rate of almost 20% during the month of July. Since it's Cuomo and de Blasio reporting that, I say double it because they are perennial liars and bullshit artists. Speaking of New York, number three, 83% of all restaurants in the city were unable to pay their full rent last month. Number four, in 2020, the state of Louisiana has lost twice as many jobs as it did after Hurricane Katrina. Jesus. Did they talk about any of these numbers at either convention? In the state of South Carolina, an eye-popping 52% of all renters are at risk of eviction. Even more at risk in other states. I saw the chart. One state, it's almost 60%. I think it's Louisiana. It could be Mississippi. Number six, Americans now owe more than $21 billion in unpaid rent. Number seven, overall, 27% of all Americans did not make their rent or mortgage payments last month. Number eight, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, the delinquency rate on residential mortgages increased by 386 basis points last quarter. That's the largest and most rapid rise we've ever seen by a massive margin. Not even close. Number nine, U.S. bankruptcies are already at their highest level in 10 years, and they are expected to surge dramatically as we approach the end of this calendar year. True. I know a couple bankruptcy attorneys, and they are buried. For companies, number 10, for companies with more than $1 billion in assets, it's being projected that there will be a record number of bankruptcies in 2020. Number 11, the world trade plunged to the lowest levels on record during the month of June. 12, the percentage of hotel mortgages that are 30 or more days delinquent soared to a whopping 23.4% last month. Those are hotels. 13, American Airlines just announced that they will be eliminating 19,000 jobs next month. Oh, good fucking thing we just gave them $50 billion in tax money. Criminals. Fucking criminals.
Now we need $50 billion so we can maintain our staff levels. Here you go. Here's $50 billion. You're all fucking fired. What? Wait a minute.
Criminals. Number 14, 31% of U.S. workers that were brought back to work after being laid off during the early stages of this quote-unquote pandemic have been laid off again. And another 26% have been told that the layoffs may be coming soon. Wait a minute. I thought you weren't allowed to lay people off when you got the federal money. Yeah, right. Right. Can you blame businesses from taking the money and fucking hoarding it after the government railroaded their entire operation? A little payback, in my book. Number 15, according to one recent survey, about half of all U.S. workers that have been laid off during this pandemic believe that their job losses are permanent. Guess what happens when that sets in? Depression, alcohol abuse, opioid abuse, anxiety, suicide. 16, the IRS is projecting that it will receive 37 million fewer W-2 forms from this year than originally anticipated. Number 17, over the last 22 weeks, more than 57 million Americans have filed new claims for unemployment benefits. In all of U.S. history, we have never seen anything that is even worth comparing to this.
Oh, wait, I thought jobs were up. Jobs surged last quarter. Last month, jobs are up.
Fuck out of here with that bullshit. I just laugh every time I read it. Political year spin, folks. I'm seeing a lot of political year spin. Sad. I expected more. And at this point, even the mainstream media is admitting that this new downturn will be with us for a long time. For example, the following comes from a CNN article entitled, "We'll be stuck with this economic slump for years," economists say. And in that article, I pull from it, it says, "America remains in a deep downturn and is running a serious risk of a worsening recession that will last at least another year," economists warned. About half of the National Association of Business Economics members expect U.S. gross domestic product, the broadest measure of the economy, won't return to its pre-pandemic level until 2022. Smoking banana peels. No way it comes back that fast. A majority of those experts also say the U.S. job market will be back to its February level in 2022 at the earliest. Bullshit. That's fucking pie-in-the-sky shit. You know when you're working for a Fortune 100 company like Citi? If you sit in the meeting and you say that to your boss in front of other people, he'll say, fuck you, give me the... I don't want to know when you think it's going to come back at the earliest. I want to know the other side. If that's the earliest, when's the latest? And you'd be like, well, the earliest is 2022, boss, but we haven't really calculated the latest. And then he'll say, bullshit, spill it. Well, it could be 2030. Yeah, conveniently you leave those things out so you can make it out of the staff meeting with your ass intact. So that's pie in the sky shit. You can't have a tsunami in a like this and then it just fucking bounces back like a rubber band or a rubber chicken. Doesn't work that way. You know, wipe out 60% of small businesses, 80% of restaurants, and voila, these people are going to go back. It's going to go back to normal. You can go in a restaurant without being molested by federal and state regulations. Oh, you can't be at this table for more than 90 minutes. Oh, you can't drink unless you have food on the table. You want to get 4 or 5 beers with your buddies over 4 or 5 hours, right? Can't happen. Number one, you can't sit at the table that long. Number two, you'd have to order more fucking food than Henry VIII. Okay? Just to have a couple beers, it looks like one of Oprah's picnics. And then the bill reflects it. So restaurants are going to go back to that? Who's going to go into there? Nobody. That's who. Nobody. What do we got next? We're rolling for a Friday. We are rolling, and I hope you're getting some good news from this. New studies show a risk of COVID-19 hospitalization and death decreases with hydrochloroquine use. What a surprise. What a fucking surprise. I'm going to take a quick drink of water. Throw some Beastie Boy Sabotage because that's what's happened. The FDA, Fauci, Burks, Redfield, these medical posers and medical criminals have sabotaged hydroxychloroquine use in the U.S. You can't even buy it over the counter. I talked to a friend of our show, Tim the Professor, Tim the Scientist. I said, "Where can we get a hydroxychloroquine in the U.S.?" He said, "You can't get it over the counter. And they're giving it out in other countries. They're giving it out. The government, India, Ireland, here, take this stuff. It'll help you. In the U.S., you can't get it's fucking crime. It's a crime. So it's been a sabotage. So we go to the Beastie Boys, and I can get a little drink of water here, and then we'll be rocking and rolling in 30 seconds. Sabotage. Two recent studies support the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine. I still struggle with that word. It's just... I'll get it eventually. A treatment for COVID-19 that can reduce the chance of hospitalization or death, refuting narratives in the media that the drug is dangerous and being pushed by President Donald Trump for political reasons. Hydroxychloroquine is a relatively cheap and readily available drug that's been used for decades to treat malaria. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, doctors around the world have vouched for a positive result seen in patients who take it. A study out of Italy found that HCQ, I like HCQ better, the abbreviation, reduces 30% the risk of death for COVID-19 patients who are hospitalized. The result comes from an observational study of more than 3,400 COVID-19 patients in 33 Italian hospitals. We observed the patients treated with HCQ had a 30% lower in-hospital mortality rate compared to those not receiving this treatment, said Augusto Di Castelnuovo, epidemiologist at Neuromed Department of Epidemiology and Prevention, currently at Mediterranea Cardiocentro in Naples. Another study, which looked at outpatient cases in New Jersey, found that prescriptions of HCQ reduced the risk of hospitalization by 47%. That word is going to be like the Spanish word despacio for me, which means slow, right? When I was taking Spanish and working some government jobs and you take your Spanish classes, I could not remember despacio from my life. Finally, somebody said, "Hey, man, it's just like pistachio, man, okay? You have to eat that slow, man. Peel the shell back. Just think of that, man." Thanks, Sammy Davis. And then I got it. But the hydroxychloroquine is turning into my Spanish version of despacio. The study in New Jersey, which looked at outpatient cases, found that a prescription for HCQ reduced the risk of hospitalization by 47%. What a rat race we're in here. A medical rat race, you're right, Mr. Marley. Because the study was conducted early in the pandemic when mostly only symptomatic people were being tested, researchers believe their sample of more than 1,200 patients represents people with relatively more advanced cases of COVID-19. The study concluded that HCQ can be effective when given early after the COVID-19 diagnosis. A study found there was no increase in negative side effects for people who took the drug. One concern about HCQ has been the potential for it to cause heart problems in some patients. In this observational study of 1,274 COVID-19 patients, HCQ given as an outpatient treatment was associated with a 47% reduction in the hazard of hospitalization. And it is a hazard in New Jersey with Governor Murphy and New York and Pennsylvania and Michigan. These guys are just looking to kill people. These elected officials. Elected communists, I should say. Adverse effects were not increased during the study, having to do with hearts, heart problems. So this medical rat race to try to smear and besmirch HCQ continues, while the research really shows quite the opposite. You're seeing a tug of war here between Big Pharma and everybody else. Much rather have a... They're giving it out for free in other countries, the scientist, the professor tells us. What does that tell you? Like, here, take, get this out to your friends. Give it to as many people as you can get it to. In the U.S., you're not allowed to have any of it. Dr. Fauci said he can't make money, and Bill Gates can't make money. And plus, we want you to die. It's kind of like what it seems, right? Let's call it for what it is. Rat race is right. Virginia Dems pass a bill allowing an assault on a police officer to be treated as a misdemeanor. Wow. Virginia Democrats in the state Senate banded together to pass a controversial bill allowing the assault of a law enforcement officer to be treated as a misdemeanor instead of a felony. That is, a crime punishable by less than 1 year in jail instead of the felony, which was a longer sentence. What do you expect when your governor was dressed in blackface or a KKK garb hanging out? How do you think that's going to work? Virginia, who wants to make the Bill Gates vaccine mandatory. Get the fuck out of Virginia if you're in Virginia. There's some good old boys in Virginia. I had a cousin down in the woods in Virginia. Good luck giving that guy's family a vaccine. You're going to get a lead salad. He'll turn his dogs on you. I don't know what he's got down there, 100 acres? He better show up with a team. Some good old boys in Virginia. They don't play down there. The bill passed by the Virginia Senate by a margin of 21 to 15 would allow an assault against a law enforcement officer to become a misdemeanor if the person attacked is not hurt. Before now, any assault on a police officer in the state of Virginia carried a minimum 6 month jail sentence. The same penalty applies to anyone who assaults a person they know or have a reason to know as a judge, magistrate, prison guard, firefighter, or some other criminal justice administrator or first responder. Police and thieves, folks. Governor Northam. Governor Northam in the street. Oh, yeah. Wearing a pointed hood and white sheet. You got to mix in some Clash here. We're going to have to. The Clash might become the official U.S. house band as people start to take a more radical approach to their government. All the nonsense going on. And speaking of radical idiots in the government, Pelosi says Biden shouldn't debate Trump and wouldn't legitimize a conversation with him. Oh, didn't I say that there would never be any debates? And people thought I was crazy? This guy is nuts. There has to be debates. No, there doesn't. These guys write the rules. They're going to protect Biden. I told you this was going to happen. Didn't happen yet, but it sure looks like they're rolling it out now. You have to understand. They make the rules, so they don't have to play by any rules. They can make whatever rules they want. You should be learning stuff like that by listening to this show. What do we have for this? Oh, yeah. Pelosi, we'll go the little. Uptight girl. I'm sorry, uptown girl. Wow. Whew. I got to brush up on those lyrics. Ice cream girl. She's got her chocolate swirls. My chocolates. I love my chocolates. And my chocolates. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggested Thursday that former Vice President Joe Biden should cancel his three scheduled debates with President Trump because the commander-in-chief would belittle the forum and engage in skullduggery. Yeah, that's called a political campaign in the United States, I think, pretty much. I don't think there should be any debates, Pelosi said out of the blue at a news conference in the Capitol, saying she doesn't want the debates to be an exercise in skullduggery. Here's my chocolates. I wouldn't legitimize the conversation with him, nor a debate in terms of the presidency of the United States. Now, I know that Joe Biden campaign thinks in a different way about this. My chocolates, my chocolates. Indeed, Biden told MSNBC Thursday he's still planning on showing up to the high-profile face-off with President Eisenhower. I added that part in. As long as the debate commission continues down the straight and narrow as they have, I'm going to debate him, Biden said, adding that he'd call out any Trump lies in real time. Yeah, probably by doing push-ups.
Every time Trump lies, I'm going to do a push-up.
They carry him off the stage in a stretcher.
I'm going to be a fact checker on the floor as I'm debating him.
Let me help him with that sentence. We'll take out the words "a fact checker," and it reads, "I'm going to be on the floor as I'm debating him." I think that's probably a better edit than what he had. Uptown Girl.
Chocolates and my ice cream and my Amazon stock. Yeah, that's what I need for the debates. I could be president. I could be President Pelosi for like 3 or 4 weeks if the election's not settled.
That's fucking scary, by the way. I mean, yikes. Yikes. Okay, well, we're rolling here. Portland Mayor Ted the Wheelman Wheeler's strategy to quell the rioting in the city is let it burn itself out. Wow. This guy's a real cement head, isn't he? A real cement head. Portland Democratic Mayor Ted the Wheelman Wheeler has an innovative new strategy to quell riots in the Oregon city that have continued to rage on every night for more than 3 months. And here it is. Burn down the mission. Burn down the mission.
How are we going to stop the fire? We're not going to stop the fire. We're going to burn it to the ground. Then they won't have anything else to burn. See, we showed them. I'm not sure that's probably the best. Well, if they burn the whole city down, there won't be anything left to burn. Who's with me?
The Wheelman, his big plan is to do nothing in particular at all. I believe the nightly violence will ultimately burn itself out. I think you're right, along with the entire city. They say the sun is eventually going to burn itself out too, but you might want to put on a little SPF so you don't look like you're on a barbecue spit. The message of inaction from the mayor is likely a disappointing one for many residents as well as law enforcement in the city who continue to face assaults from violent protesters on a nightly basis. Not to mention the businesses forced to flee the destruction. Federal agents have previously been deployed to the city to protect a federal courthouse that has been under siege and help bring law and order there. But that didn't exactly fit Wheeler's hands-off strategy.
These sons of bitches are... I want it all to burn down.
You ever been in a federal courthouse? Hopefully you haven't. It's all granite, cement, and marble. And wood. But mostly the other things I mentioned. Tough to burn one of those places down, man. I've been in my fair share on both sides of the table. I swear to God, they make these structures to intimidate the hell out of you. According to Ellis, the Wheelman receives a report every morning on the protests that took place the night before and sometimes will follow up with the specific tactics that were used, but essentially leaves decisions on how to handle the riots up to the police. Wheeler has like a risk board, the game board in his office. We need to burn this part of the neighborhood down and burn this part of the neighborhood down.
I have people that want to come in here and invest, so make sure you burn it down. They buy low, they sell high, and we all make money. They've tried everything from not showing up to preemptively dispersing crowds. And some of those strategies, in my opinion, have worked well. Others have not worked well, Wheeler said.
Yeah, like the strategy of letting people riot. It's insane. My expectation is the police bureau will evolve and they see a need for change, they'll change. They're going to change careers. They're going to change towns. At one point last week, Wheeler even considered a high-risk plan of ordering police to stand down from the demonstrations, but balked ultimately before implementing it. Wait a minute. Do you mean that they're not standing down now? What? Now Wheeler is considering all options under the core objective to create a free and safe space. Those people who want to express their First Amendment rights. Didn't we just see that play out in Seattle? That didn't go so well. Black kids were shot, killed.
It's a summer of love, man, the mayor of Seattle said. It's like a street festival.
With dead people, gunned down. Young African Americans. That's one hell of a street festival. That makes the Fry Festival look like a scout picnic. In the meantime, he's urging residents to stay patient. After all, he argued, these types of civil rights movements take time. Yeah. Since when did arson become a civil rights movement? Did you ever see the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. torch a building? The fuck is this guy talking about?
I want to remind people that when they say, when is all this going to end? The nonviolent part of this probably won't end for quite some time.
With the wheel man said,
and I'm reminded regularly that people in this community who were engaged in the struggle for civil rights, the civil rights movement lasted a lot longer than 2.5 months.
Yeah, but when it was over, there were buildings standing. Somebody get this guy's skinny jeans off. It's cutting off the circulation to his fucking head. Those are texts coming in as I was talking to you right now about explosions in New York City. Don't know what it is. 10 or 12 massive explosions right before midnight, right after midnight. A couple different texts from a couple different people there. So keep an eye on that. Could be something, could be nothing. Who knows? We're talking about... cities under siege and texts come rolling in talking about explosions in New York City in real time. So put that in perspective. It's this is like a national scheme. Obviously, it's very coordinated. Kenosha man, 71, he fends off looters and suffers a broken jaw and a blow to the head. Whew, this guy's a tough bastard. Guy looks like he took some pretty good blows to the noggin. We'll play a little Eric Clapton, Knock on Wood. This guy's a tough bastard. Who sang this originally? Eddie Floyd? I might play his. If we finish this up, I'll try to locate some Eddie Floyd on the fly. Elderly man in Kenosha, Wisconsin was brutally attacked. Left with a broken jaw. After defending two businesses from looters during unrest in the city Monday night, according to multiple reports. Some of you young folks sitting on the couch saying we can't do anything. Oh, you know what? I know what I want to play for this guy. Because this guy is what I'm talking about. I don't think that they pulled the song, but I'll pull it right now. Because I know... to make my point. A very important point, by the way.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Just talking about his generation. These older guys are tough as fucking... steel. Guys like Rebar out there. Some of these younger guys, they could learn a lot from this generation. 50s, the 60s, the 70-year-olds, the 80-year-olds. They're not afraid to go out and mix it up. You know why? Because that's how they fucking came up. If you're 20 and 30, can you even take a punch? It's time to find out, boys. It's time to become a man. Stand up for your rights. Stand up for something or you'll be sitting down for anything. Robert Cobb, 71, had responded to the Danish Brotherhood Lodge in the mattress shop in the city's uptown area after seeing live video of people setting the area on fire, leading him to use a fire extinguisher to spray people attempting to break into establishments. Get this guy a fucking Purple Heart. Where's his GoFundMe? The mattress store would later burn to the ground, Milwaukee's Fox 6 reported. He sprayed them in the face so they had to take off their masks for identification, said Pamela Sue Moniz, owner of the mattress shop, according to the Kenosha News. Someone pulled a gun and another person yelled, "Don't shoot this man, don't shoot this man." This guy's a fucking badass. Can I adopt this guy as a surrogate relative? Cobb was then hit in the head with a plastic bottle filled with concrete, knocking him to the ground. That fall broke his jaw in two places, split his nose, and caused deep cuts to his head. A video of the incident allegedly showed passersby attending to Cobb immediately after the attack, with one person remarking he needed to turn his head because Cobb was drowning in his blood. "He didn't deserve any of that, any of it," a woman can be heard saying on the video to others in the area. "This is just wrong, guys. Do you not see this? We're just trying to protect ourselves," another woman could be heard responding and allegedly defending the incident. "You don't understand what terrifies these black men out here. Understand respect. How about that? Yeah, let's go beat on a 71-year-old. You guys are fucking tough. You guys are some fucking tough guys." Jesus Christ. But if the guy rolled over and put a bullet in your stomach, he would be in jail, right? Is that how it works? Pretty much how it works this day and age. And then we'll go back to Clapton. I just wanted to play that Generation song because it popped into my... Talk about wood. It popped into my my hard head. Amonis said she and others helped get Cobb into a truck, then drove through a mass of people and onto sidewalks just to get him to the hospital. He will need surgery to put two removable plates in place and wire his jaw shut. The business owner told Kenosha News she was grateful that Cobb tried to defend her business and that others took care of him as he was lying on the sidewalk bleeding out and dying. "I absolutely cry every time I talk about it because this man did this for me," Moniz said. "He did it because that is the kind of person he is. He is so giving, so selfless." I played the song for a reason. My generation. A lot of guys like this. A lot of women, too. Kick your ass. This is what they were about back then. We're going to miss these people. We're going to fucking miss these people when they're gone. Look what we have instead. Look what we have instead. My God. My God. The people coming up. My God. A fucking embarrassment. These soy latte types. They go in the street with their spray can and mace.
Spray. I spray on you. You spray on me. Your turn to spray me. Then I spray you.
You don't even know what fucking violence is. You get into a street fight. These people. We're going to miss guys like this. We are. Trust me. Tough as nails. Tough as fucking nails. Because they came up that way. That's part of your DNA when you come up tough. When you serve in different battles. Vietnam, Korea, stuff like that, right? You're just tough. When you go away to fucking Vietnam... 19 years old. Look what today's 19-year-olds are doing. They're throwing cement at guys like that. guarantee you he's a fucking veteran. Put money on it. A crowdfunding page has since been created and raised nearly $20,000 for Cobb and his business owners. I've seen these three folks help neighborhood people for years with money, food, mattresses when no one could afford to pay. They have served the Kenosha community selflessly and so didn't deserve this horrible attack, the fundraiser said. Yeah, but it gets the store burnt down anyhow. Mona's told Kenosha News her business plans to cover Cobb's medical expenses. If there's anything left over, that is what we will use to rebuild, she said. He absolutely comes first. They'll probably shut his GoFundMe down. While guys like McCabe and all these other urchins can bank up to $500,000 like it's nothing. Or these so-called journalist freedom fighters who are breaking big stories. Yeah, my ass. Where are we at? Okay, that's it, I think. Is that it? Yes. I have a closing statement, Your Honor, and they'll be brief. Special thanks to the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit and the folks on True Pundit, reading True Pundit this weekend. The folks are listening also to the podcast. If you want to jump in on those subscriber-only areas, we're going to be building those things up. You get plenty of bang for your buck just with the chatter alone. And the More Pain Show. I think we did 2.5 hours pretty much on a Tuesday night. Matter of course, basically, on all different types of topics. But we spin off into a lot of different things, shoot the shit a lot. It's more just like a conversation than anything else in it. People seem to like it a lot based on the response. It's been 2 years strong, I think, pretty much today. We started that 2 years ago. So there's some shows on there, of course, over 2 years, and we appreciate it. And if you've seen recent things play out in the media about people in the media, quote unquote, in the media, not really in the media, the media is like their cover, who are funded by dissidents and different governments and different millionaires and billionaires, and the pitfalls and trapdoors that has as far as getting in the way of reporting truth to people instead of some millionaire or billionaire spin, you understand the importance of individual crowdfunding like we're doing by the subscriber-only area, funded by you, not millionaires and billionaires who are trying to manipulate the news cycle. We have enough of that. So we appreciate your support on there. It's a grassroots effort through and through, and we will continue to treat it and build it in that manner. And we'll see you soon enough, and I appreciate you for your patronage of the shows this week. Another successful week of the Thomas Paine podcast on all fronts. What do I say at the end of every show? And I mean it. Take care and God bless you.
Saturday, a regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin. Sure how it goes, but it's sad and it's sweet, and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes. La 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 John at the bar is a friend of mine. He gets me my drinks for free. And he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke, but there's some place that he'd rather be. He says, Bill, I believe this is killing me. As a smile ran away from his face, but I'm sure that I could be a movie star if I could get out of this place. Oh, la la la. Had time for a wife, and he's talking with David, who's still in the Navy and probably will be for life. And the waitress is practicing politics as the businessmen slowly get stoned. Saturday, and the manager gives me a smile, 'cause he knows that it's me they've been coming to see, to forget about life for a while.